And I'm glad for the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, aren't you? Sweeter words never penned. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I certainly am glad as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that I do not have to live this life on my own. As someone who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I am grateful that Jesus Christ continued by His Spirit to convince me of who He was and that He is sufficient to save me from my sins. And I'm certain you are glad about that as well. Hey, good to see you out on Friday night. Glad that you are here. Welcome to the fall weather, huh? Here it comes, ready or not. And it is here and getting a little chillier every day. And to be perfectly honest, I enjoy it, but I'm leaving. So tomorrow we're headed up to Maine. So it'll probably be a little chillier. We start a revival meeting in southern Maine on Sunday. And we'll be there Sunday through Wednesday. And then we drive across the United States to Illinois, drop off our trailer, drive down to Tennessee for a retreat that we have at the Bill Rice Ranch, and then back up to Illinois for a revival meeting, and then we head to Florida for a little bit of time, and I heard it's warmer down there than it is up here, so we're going to head that way. So I will tell you, it certainly has been good to be with you all this week, and I say that sincerely. I mean it. We have enjoyed, our time with you. Enjoy to get to know some of you a little bit better and get to meet some of you and make some friendships and solidify some friendships. And we look forward to those relationships continuing in the future. There's no telling how, if or when we will meet again. The only confidence we have is that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I am, then someday we'll meet together in glory. And that will be a glorious day. I'll look forward to that. Won't you? When we get to see our Savior face to face, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And that is the truth. You know, this is the truth. This world isn't our home. This is not what we're living for. Everything that exists here on this earth, while some of it's beautiful, a lot of it is fun, none of it will last forever. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can have confidence that when we see Him, we'll see Him and be able to spend eternity with Him. Looking forward to that. Pastor, thank you for letting us come. We have certainly enjoyed it and appreciate your pastor very much and appreciate this church. Okay, so real quick, to be perfectly honest, you guys are looking a little tired. How many of you are feeling the week just a little bit? Can I see your hands if you're just a little bit worn down? All right. So that happens sometimes by Thursday and Friday night, start to kind of feel it a little bit. So, a couple possibilities. One is, I preach really short. The other possibility is, you ask the Lord to help you stay awake. Now, in a minute, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, I want you to ask the Lord to help you to stay awake. will not be longer than we need to be tonight, but I am burdened about what we're going to look at tonight. Actually, just until a couple moments ago, I was going back and forth between what I just didn't have confidence for certain between two of what the Lord would have me preach. They're both related, but I wasn't positive about from which passage, and they deal with a little bit different details. So I believe the Lord would have us look at Hebrews tonight, so that's what we're going to do. Hebrews, and we're going to look at the 12th chapter. So in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter number 12, if you get to the book of Revelation, you went too far. Take a left, a couple books, and you'll get there. Hebrews, James is right after Hebrews, and then 1st and 2nd Peter. But Hebrews is where we'll be tonight, in Hebrews chapter number 12. While you're turning, I'd like to invite you to come and see us at the Bill Rice Ranch. Now, I know that some of you have come to see, the teenagers came several years ago, and some have come for the family weeks. And to be perfectly honest, the family weeks really is what I'm thinking of specifically with this church. Now, it's a little bit of a trip between here and the ranch. We drove it on Saturday. We got up and left at 5:40 on Saturday morning, and we made it up here by about 9:30, but that is with three kiddos, one of whom depends upon mama for his food. And so we had to stop every couple hours in order to take care of those things. So I think the trip can be made in about 9.5-10 hours, somewhere along that. So it's a little bit of a trip. I get that. And for some of you, that's like forever to drive that far. You've never been away from Pennsylvania. That I understand that. My wife is from Southeast Georgia. She went to Pensacola Christian College, which is about 7 hours away from her home in Georgia, and it was an amazing feat for people from her town. I'm surprised I didn't take out a front page ad about it, just because it's a big deal. So I get that sometimes we're used to staying home. Let me tell you just real quickly that at the Bill Rice Ranch for the family weeks, it's a full week of family camp, and it is a great time. There are several services throughout the day, a couple in the morning and then one in the evening. The morning services are not long, but they're super, super helpful, and there's activities interspersed in the morning. And in the afternoon, there's great activities. Several things that I like about it. At the ranch, the family week preaching is designed and designated for the family. Now, it's not always preaching concerning husbands, wife, or children, but it's always geared that way, and it will be a help to you, regardless of if you're raising children or not. We have young couples that come with children. We have older couples that come without children. In fact, one of the neat things about the ranch is some people will use it as a family gathering time, you know, like a family reunion. So the kids are scattered around. They've had their children, and everybody will meet back at the ranch for a family week. And the nice thing about it is you have the rooms all right there. The food is all taken care of. You don't have to prepare any of that. There's great events that go on. Moms, you don't have to worry about doing any dishes or anything like that. All of that is taken care of. And the thing I like about it especially is that you don't have to worry about covering your kids' eyes. You know, you can come and just relax and enjoy. We have 50 head of horses, 1,300 acres, a swimming pool. We have swim times for the guys and swim times for the girls, and just great stuff that goes on. We have a great staff that helps out with everything. The services are encouraging. The events are age sensitive. That is, we have events for those who like to sit, and we have events for those who like to go, 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 go. There's stuff for everybody. You can take trail rides, go for a breakfast ride, a cookout where you have steak and eggs, and neat entertainment, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of great things that you can do at the ranch. So I want you to consider coming. On the table, I brought some brochures. I asked the folks at the ranch if I could bring some, and we have some brochures that talk about all of the camps that go on. And I'd like for you to get one and look over and just pray about it. Maybe put it on your refrigerator and pray about it as a family. It will be one of your favorite vacations ever. Now, I don't know off the top of my head all of the cost. I looked at it briefly the other day. As vacations go, it's fairly inexpensive because it includes all the food and events and activities and everything. It's all right there. And so it's well worth your coming to. I hope you at least consider it and pray about it. And I think it'd be great if a large group of you all came for family camp. We would certainly look forward to seeing you. Now, I'll give you a real quick clue. If you come to the Bill Rice Ranch for family camp and I see you there, you will have to remind me both your name and from whence you are. Because when I see people out of the realm of where I've seen them before, it throws me off. I don't know why. It shouldn't. But it throws me off terribly. If I saw you even in town, I would go, okay, I know you. Where do I know you from? Oh yeah, that's right, church. I'm here this week. So things like that. So don't be offended, please, if I forget your name when you come, but come and reintroduce yourself and then enjoy a week at the Bill Rice Ranch. We have two family weeks, one around July 4th and then one at the beginning of August or end of July. Either one of them would be great, and I would highly encourage you to come and be involved in it. All right. Thanks again for coming this week. For those of you who have been able to be out for several nights, I'm glad you've been able to be here. I trust it's been an encouragement. I hope the Bible has been, here's a buzzword, relevant, helpful. It's been applicable to you and to your life, and I trust that it will continue to be. This week is not about this week. You understand that, right? This week is about the rest of our lives and our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that really is the truth. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read a couple of other familiar verses. Stand with me, please, if you're physically able to, out of respect for the Word of God, and also just to refresh ourselves. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." All of this is done looking under Jesus, who is the author, the beginner, and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who's seated beside you now, I come asking you, please, to meet with us in a special way. Unashamedly, Lord, I pray tonight that you would stir in the hearts and in the souls and in the consciences of several, many who are here tonight regarding the truth of what you've given us here in Hebrews 12. And Lord, this is built on everything else that has been said up to this point in the book of Hebrews and the time that it would take to uncover everything we just don't have. So I pray tonight that, Holy Spirit, you would preach the truths into the hearts and minds and consciences of every person that's here. Help me to say the things that need to be said in a succinct manner so that since our bodies are tired, our minds would still be able to comprehend and we would grow as a result of our time here together. I do pray for folks, Lord, right now, that they'd be able to focus their minds, help them to be able to push off the things that might be pressing against them in their hearts and minds. If there's anyone here, Father, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, doesn't know your Son as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight they would be convinced in the greatest way they have ever been convinced of their need of Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, dear Lord, please help us to see the things we need to. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. I'm not a runner. That is, just for the sake of fun and running, I'm not interested in it. Now, I exercise because I want my body to continue to function at its best ability as God has given it to me. So I exercise some, but to be perfectly honest, the thought of going out and running just for the sake of running doesn't appeal to me at all. Several years ago, I read a story about a guy who went out running. He lived in California. He went out running. He was used to running just a couple miles, but on this day, as he was out running, he met up with a person, and they had basically the same pace, and so they ran together, and they began to talk and just build a friendship as they began to run together, and he ran much further than what he was used to. He ended up running 5 or 6 miles, and while they were running, they began running up a road that had a steep embankment on one side, and since he was tired, his feet faltered, and he ended up falling down the embankment and almost lost his life. Now, I don't remember what the moral of the story was, but I remember what I thought when I read it. I thought something along the lines of, serves him right. Anybody that goes out and runs 7 miles deserves to fall down an embankment or something. Now, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek because I know some of you probably enjoy running, and if you do, more power to you. You probably like Brussels sprouts too, but that's okay. I don't just get out and run for the sake of running. Now you put a ball in the midst of it. That is, in a field or on a court, and that is fun to me, even if you run. Or even if I'm training for something. If I'm training for some event where I have to run. Okay, all that is fine, but just to get out and run, oh man, I don't like it. Part of the reason why is because in running, there is so much opposition. You know, that wind, it can really cause opposition. And my legs, they can really cause opposition. And the running track, and the blood in my body just seems to get heavier all of a sudden. And my shoes, everything, it just seems like there's so much. Well, and in Hebrews chapter 12, what we've read here, we are given a story, actually a picture of what our life is like, and it's compared to a person running. In Hebrews 12, 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And then it says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, right now, it's a big deal to call a life a journey. That is, people refer to the life that we live as a journey, and there's a sense in which that really is the case. That is, all of us are headed somewhere. All of us are going in a direction, and our life is made up of many different decisions, but there's something specific that is to be accomplished. Now, what I like about the thought of a journey is that it gives purpose to our life. And there really is purpose to life. Now, you can try to spend your life seeking for purpose, or else you can come to the God who created you and made you for a purpose and find out from Him what your purpose is. Now, friend, I don't say this tritely. I don't say this just because it's popular. I certainly don't say this just for the sake of endearing myself to you. But I do want you to know this. God who created everything, the God who made all that is and gives you the breath that you breathe and has given you the family that He's given you and has given you the abilities which He has granted to you, that God has made you for a purpose. God has something for you to accomplish. He has a race for you to run. Now tonight, I want us to consider three specific things. I want us to consider the race that God has for us. I want us to consider the cloud of witnesses that's mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And then I want you to consider the restraints that sometimes keep us from running the race. First of all, this race. Again, I say God has a race for you to run. That is, God has something for you to accomplish. Every person. And don't think, now listen, sincerely, don't sit here tonight and think to yourself, well, everybody else has something specific they're supposed to do. I do not because I'm retired or I'm at this age or even I'm too young. I'm only in sixth grade. I'm in seventh grade. Someday I'll have a purpose, but right now I don't have a purpose. Friend, it doesn't work that way. When God created you, He created you for a purpose and God wants to do something through your life. Well, you say, Tim, I've made mistakes in my life. I have things that I've done and it's now diverted me from being able to fulfill the purpose that God originally intended me to accomplish. Okay, now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It may be that you have made mistakes that have caused you to take different routes than what you think God may have had you take originally. But hear me. We're talking about a God who is able to take any person and give any person, regardless of past, a true purpose, a true reason for living. And regardless of what your past has been, God can still accomplish great things through your life. And listen, I believe with everything that is in me that in this auditorium right now sit a group of people that God desires to use in His purpose. And He's designed you for a purpose. Today I was texting with a friend. Well, you guys know who Dr. Bill is because he's been here for several times. Dr. Bill is a friend and he's a mentor of mine. I appreciate him, love him very much. And he asked me today via text. He said, "Hey, how's the meeting going?" I said, "It's going real well." I said, "The attitude of the church is expectancy. That is, when they come in, they expect to hear something. You can tell they expect something to happen. People are being invited out, and it's good. We've had visitors in the services, and we're still praying that people be convinced of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the attitude, I told Dr. Bill today, the attitude is expectancy. And I really do think that's the case, and that is great. That is great, because what it does is it tells me that you guys at least understand whether you've acknowledged it mentally in this phrase or not. You understand that God has something for you to do. Now, this race is a good race. What God wants to do and what God wants to accomplish in your life and through your life is good. Look, even if you're here tonight and you don't even know God, that is, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. God has a purpose for you. His purpose for you begins with your understanding, your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, think about it for a moment. You cannot. There is no way that you're going to be able to save yourself, to get yourself, to keep yourself from being judged for your sin. But God, in His mercy and in His love, in His grace and His giving, has provided a way of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He stated in His Word that anyone who will come to Christ by faith, accepting Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross to be the forever forgiveness of their sins, that person can have their sins absolutely erased, moved away in the sight of God, forgiven, so that you can be a child of God. But friend, that's great. And that's God's purpose for you. The Scriptures say that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, God's design is for any person, every person, to come into a saving knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven and know that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, I am telling you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the God, and what Jesus did on the cross is enough to pay for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. Christ's death on the cross is enough. And if you'll trust Him, you can be saved. You receive Him, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So this race reminds us that there's a purpose. Listen to me, teenage guys and girls that are in here tonight. God has a purpose. God has something that He wants to do through your life. And it's not something that's just for adults or just for preachers. It's for everybody. God has something specific. I don't know exactly what it is that God wants to do through you, but I'm telling you, God does want to do something through you. Sir, ma'am, don't limit God. Just because you're 40 or 50 or 70, don't limit God. Consider, in a moment we will, consider those that lived by faith. Many of them were much older than what we are when God called them into the ministry that He had for them. God is not limited by our age. God can use any person of any age. God can do anything that He wants to do. So don't limit God. Don't spend your life saying, I'm not sure God can use me for whatever reason. Just realize this is a God who has purpose. Forgive me, my microphone got caught up and the wire's wrapped around and it feels like it's pulling it out of my ear. So I'm going to move it over. If it looks funny, it looks funny. All right. So there's a purpose, this race. This race is a race that has difficulty. That is, in this race, there are going to be times of struggle and trouble. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest things about living for God is that regardless of whatever situation I face, I know that God is with me. I mentioned before that Jesus said, I'm going to be with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that is encouraging to my heart. God desires and designs us to run with patience. In fact, the verse says it here. Let us run the race with patience, the Bible says. And the idea is, look, there's going to be pressure against you. There's going to be things that come against you. Sometimes it'll be from the outside, and sometimes it'll be from the inside. Sometimes you'll face discouragement in doing what God wants you to do. But look, you can live for God. You can do what God wants you to do. Aren't you a child of God? Don't you have the Holy Spirit living inside you? Well, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and the Holy Spirit lives inside you, then you can do what God wants you to do, regardless of age, regardless of intellect, regardless of what you have or don't have, regardless of how smart you think you are or are not, regardless of how much education you have. You can serve God and you can serve God faithfully where you are. God does not say, serve me if you have enough intelligence to do so. If He said that, then all of us would be in trouble. The Bible just says it is required in a steward that he be found faithful. That is, that we continue. And while our race that we run, our life that God would have us live, and the fulfillment of what God wants us to do may have in it opposition, we can run with patience. I heard one time somebody describe patience as being able to continue under the strain. And they use the illustration of a weightlifter. You ever watch this during the Olympics? These guys who do what they call the clean and jerk, where they have this bar with all kinds of weights. I've watched this on occasion. Once in a while I turn it and it's ladies doing it. I'm like, no, that shouldn't be happening. So I'll turn it. But when the guys do it, you know, here's these guys that they eat raw meat and all kinds of stuff. There's something that's a little bit odd about them. But here they have this barbell and it's full of weights and they'll come under. It's great to me the way they psych themselves up. Yeah. They do this kind of stuff, just get themselves all pumped up and ready to go, and then they get down. And then this is my favorite part. They don't do that. But this is my favorite part. They go, no! And they hold it there for a second, and basically they're waiting for a bell to sound or for the official to say they've been holding it long enough, and then as soon as the bell sounds, they drop it backwards. You know, and they flex and show off. Okay, so they get excited. The idea of patience is to continue under the strain. The moment when they push that barbell up over their head and they're holding it there, everything, outward influences, everything on the inside says, drop it. Drop it, not on your head, but drop it. Get away from it. Get out from under this. And yet, because of the prize they're seeking, because of the goal they're going after, they continue on in patience. Okay, now listen to me. This race that God has for you and I to run, what God wants you to accomplish in your life, God calls us to, with patience, continue under, even when there's difficulty, even when there's strain. Listen to me. Don't quit as soon as difficulty comes. When God calls you to something, and as God reveals a step to you, don't let anything stand in the way. Don't let any outward influence stand in the way of your doing what God has called you to do. I meet young people all the time who say something along the lines of, oh, Brother Tim, I think it'd be great if I could come and work at the Bill Rice Ranch. Or I'd love to go to Christian college and study, but man, I'm just not sure I can afford it. Okay, now listen to me. I'm not saying that every young person ought to go to a Christian college, but here's what I'm saying. If God calls you to do it, if God calls you to it, yes, there's going to be outward pressure. Yes, there's going to be times in your life where everything on the inside and everybody on the outside says, get out from underneath it. It's too much. You can't do that. You can't teach that class. You're not smart enough for that. You're not able to accomplish that. And yet God here says, run the race with patience. Consider the race that God has for you. Whatever the step is, whatever it is that God has for you to do, follow what God says to do and run this race with patience. The race may have opposition, yes, but this is a race that must be run in patience. It's a race that must be run in faith. There is no alternative to trusting God. And listen, we serve a God that we can trust. Our God is able. Any excuse that you give for why you can't do what God wants you to do is always based upon your ability or your inability. It cannot and it will not ever be based upon the inability of God to perform that which we say that we can't do. God is able to accomplish anything. Listen to me, sir, ma'am. God can use you to win people to Jesus Christ. God can use you to give the gospel. Don't sit there tonight and say to yourself, well, I can't. Well, you may not be able to, but this is a God who is able. And if you'll put your dependence on His Son, in His Spirit, then God said, I will give you what you need to do what I've called you to do. And when God gives you this race to run and He begins to unfold for you the steps to take, then go in patience, go in faith. Trust God and go. It's an absolute necessity if we're going to run the race that's set before us. Consider the race. It's a race with opposition. It's a race that must be run by faith. It's a race that must be run in patience. Hey, it's a race that's run while we're considering, while we're looking at our Savior. Verse number 2 of Hebrews chapter number 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The next verse says, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners. In other words, okay, look to the Lord Jesus. Look to Him as an example. Also, look to Him for the ability to do what you've been called to do. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this. If you've been paying attention, if you've come for several nights, you will notice that all throughout this, the Lord has continuously directed my heart back towards the importance of your relationship and your staying connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you want to do what God wants you to do, if you want to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish, you've got to get connected to Christ and you've got to stay connected. For salvation, we accept Him as our Savior. In our Christian life, we stay connected to Him. And in staying connected to Him, His power flows through us so that we can do the things. In fact, Jesus Christ said to His disciples this, it is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, it's good for you that I go away. If I go away, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. In other words, His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is sent by Christ into every person who believes, and we can, by His Spirit, do the Bible says, greater works than that which Christ did. That is, anything that Jesus can do, I can do because I'm the branch, He's the vine. His power flows through me and bears fruit. And that's the way it is in running this race. We are to consider our captain. We're to consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that we need. We look to Him as our ultimate example. He endured the cross, despising the shame, based upon the promise that God had told Him to do it. And now He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, the Bible says. And we look to Him as our example, and we look to Him now also as our hope, as our help, as the one who will enable us. And some of you may have tried and tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed and failed at those things which you thought were necessary. And the reason why you've tried and failed is because you've tried in your own strength. And I'm telling you, you need to look to Jesus. We don't just say Jesus is the answer for a quippy thing to say. And Jesus being the answer is not just about salvation. Friend, Jesus is the answer for everything. We can't live the life that we're supposed to live outside of Christ. We can't run the race outside of Christ. Running the race is not set up just for those who are full-time Christian service because they attended Bible college and they learned all the things you're supposed to do and they understand more about the Bible than other people. It's not that way at all. Running the race is my being connected to the Lord Jesus, looking to Him, depending on Him, continuing under the strain of whatever outward pressure or inward struggle that I may have. I continue to keep my eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, depending on Him for the power to do it, and run the race that God has set before me. And friend, you can do that too. For some of you tonight, I firmly believe there are some in here tonight who God has dealt in your heart about some step you're supposed to take. Some young people, perhaps, who God has dealt in your heart about going to a Christian college or studying for the ministry, and you're balking at it. You're stepping back from it because you're giving all the reasons why you can't. And what I'm telling you is you may not be able to, but if you'll get connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that God cannot do through you. And some of you adults, you've been stepping back from doing the things that God would have you to do in your race. He's put you around people on purpose so that you can give them the gospel. And you've given excuses and justified about the reason why you can't. And friend, if you're dependent upon yourself, no, you can't. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who will enable you to do anything and everything that He's called you to do. Look to Jesus. Look to Him for your example. Look to Him for the strength and power to do that which you're supposed to do. You say, Tim, there's got to be more to it than that. And I'm telling you, no, there's not. Okay, think of it this way. Those of you who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're telling someone about how to be saved from their sins, and you say, look, you can be saved from your sins by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. He shed His blood in order to pay so that you don't have to die and go to hell, so that you can be God's child. If you'll accept Him, if you'll trust Him, then you can be saved. And they'll say, no, there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be stuff that I do. There's some kind of secret formula here. That sounds too simple. It can't be that. And you stand over here and argue with them. No, it's what it is. Jesus Christ offers eternal salvation to anybody who will let go of anything else they think and get them to God and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And sometimes people who don't know Christ will argue with you about it because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem possible that is the way that it is, that it's that simple. Okay, now listen. It's the same way I feel sometimes when talking to believers saying, look to Christ, depend on Him. What He tells you to do, you can do. He will give you the power if you'll trust in Him. And you say, no, it can't be that simple. Because I've tried and failed before. I've tried to do stuff. And I'm saying it's not in trying, it's in depending on Christ and Christ alone. Consider the race. In the race, consider it's a race with opposition. It's a race that must be run in patience. It's a race that must be run in faith. We look to Jesus for our example. We look to Christ for the power to do that which we're supposed to do. Secondly, and quickly, consider the cloud of witnesses. Consider the examples. Again, Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now stop real quickly. This is a reference, as many of you would know, to the previous chapter, where in Hebrews 11 we have listed off for us a group of men and women who lived lives of faith. By the way, hey, they were normal people just like you and me. Every morning they got up, their breath stinks just like yours does. They had to put on sandals. Or shoes, just like you do. They had to do everything that you do. They're just like you and me. It's not like they woke up in this aura of always looking like the pictures of what we see on the flannel graph. They were normal people. They had outward influences. They had inward doubts and fears. They were men and women who God showed to them what the step was they were supposed to take. But the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 were people who were willing to set aside the things that they could see for that which could only be viewed when you accept that God is God and what He wants and knows is best. Okay, friend, so consider them. And the point is, they did it, so can you. You see, faith, the power of faith is not based upon how much faith you have. Did you know that? Faith is not power giving because you can muster up a bunch of it. Do you remember what Jesus said about faith when he was talking to his disciples? They were amazed that he said to a tree, "You're not going to bring forth any fruit anymore." And in a little while, the tree withered away, and they were going, "Whoa." And he said, "Hey, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea." So what we do is we say, okay, I got to get at least a mustard seed size of faith. You know, you've heard this, mustard seed's really, really small. I got to get at least that much faith. It's missing the point. The power of faith is not how much you can muster. No pun intended. The power of faith is the object of your faith. It's about trusting God, and He is able. It's not, I need to have more faith. I need more faith, more faith, more faith, more faith. No, 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 no. No. You need faith in God. Faith is not something you get more of. Faith is put into God, into some object, and that object is either able or not able. I'm telling you, God's able. So consider that Moses and Noah and Sarah and Abraham, these people lived by faith. Daniel, by faith. By faith, they accepted the promise. By faith, they left all things. By faith, each of them have a different story. Some of them were rich, some of them were poor. The point was not that they all did the same thing. The point was all of them listened to God, lived by faith. And I'm telling you, God used them, and God can use you. He can. So consider the race. Consider the company. And then lastly, consider the restraints. Look down at verse 1 once again. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Okay, so he says, put aside the weight and the sin. The sin you're aware of. Look, you're not going to be able to hang on to sin and run a race of faith. You're not going to be able to continue on under the strain following God when you have sin. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Friends, you know this. We've spoken on it this week. We'll not take time to do it now. But look, if you have sin between you and the Lord and you know it, look, don't harbor that. It's not worth it. Confess it to the Lord. Get it taken care of. But the Bible also says not only lay aside the sin, but it says lay aside the weights. That is, those things, anything that would hinder you from running forward, from going forward. I dare say that in the auditorium tonight, there's some people that would say, "Man, Brother Tim, I really would like a relationship with Jesus Christ like you're talking about. Man, I'd like it if Christ would use me. Man, I'd love it if God would use me to win people. I know I need to be connected to Christ. I really wish I had that relationship." But let me tell you something. One of the reasons why you don't is because of weights. Because of things that we allow that aren't necessarily in and of themselves wrong, but we allow them to steal the time that God has given us and to steal our hearts and our minds away from doing what's right. How many teenagers have I seen get a job at 16, start working so they could buy a car, so that they can make enough money. Have this job so they can make enough money to pay for their car, and they end up living this cycle. And it begins to pull them away from that which is right. They end up walking away from what God wants them to do because they begin to live with the mindset of the world. Okay, when the Bible here says consider the weight, consider the restraints, the things that will hold you back from being able to go forward, it's talking about those things that may not in and of themselves be wrong, but they're a hindrance to your doing what God has called you to do. Now listen to me. Let go of anything that stands between you and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let go of it. Well, you say, "But Tim, I like it." Sometimes faith has teeth to it. It would do us good. It would do you good and me good to get alone with the Lord and just say, "Lord, is there anything that right now is stealing my heart away from you or hindering me, holding me back from going forward?" holding me back from doing that which you've called me to do. And then as he reveals it, then let it go. Get rid of it. Lay it aside. Put it off. Recognize it for what it is. Now, it sounds nice, but sometimes it has difficulty along with it. Let me tell you a quick story. I hesitate to do it, but I'm going to. Several years ago, God was dealing in my heart about this matter. And he began to deal in my heart about some weights. And he had dealt with me previously. My cell phone, which is a smartphone, had become for me a weight. Every time I had a minute, I grab it out, check email, maybe look at Facebook. I had a game that I like to play on there. So if I had 4 or 5 minutes somewhere, I'd just start playing this game. Text people, make sure you know I was connected, because everybody really cares about everything that I say. I just want you to know that. And so anything I say on the internet, everybody wants to know. So I'd check everything and be looking at everything. And every time I had a few minutes, sit down in a doctor's office, boom, out comes the phone. Sit down before lunch, out comes the phone. At dinner, it dings. Let me tell you, I'm grabbing it as quick as it. I mean, obviously, this is important. Fox News update or something. I mean, this is valuable. And I found that my phone, while not intrinsically wrong, had become a weight in the game that I was spending time on. I had to get rid of, lay aside. But then the Lord dealt with me about something that was especially nice for me, something I really enjoyed. Okay, let me stop here and just say this. I am not saying, when I'm about to tell you what it was that God dealt with me about, I'm not saying that anybody else has to give this up. I'm only saying that the Lord dealt with me about this. Because for me, it was a weight. It was something that was hindering me from doing what God had called me to do. I love hunting. I love it. I love everything about it. That's the one time I love getting up really early. I love getting out in the woods. I love the breeze that hits just as the sun is getting ready to peek over, and then how it just gets still as soon as the sun peeks over the horizon. It's just, I mean, the birds that start singing about 20 minutes before the sun comes up. The foxes and coyotes that run by and don't even know you're there. On occasion, the skunk, which isn't so good, but everything else, I love it. Don't tell anybody, but I love pulling the trigger, aiming at animals. It's just fun to me. So, I it's not where you're supposed to say that. I really do enjoy hunting. Now, in Tennessee, our rifle season starts the Saturday before Thanksgiving. We're usually in meetings up until the week before Thanksgiving, and then we usually head back home, and we spend from Thanksgiving till about Christmas time back home, and we get to spend time in our home church and do different things. It's a time we relish. We enjoy a little bit of R&R. And one of the things I really look forward to going home is hunting, and I love taking Seth out hunting. It's just enjoyable to me. We love it. Several years ago, I was getting ready to get home. We had one meeting left, and the week before hunting season started, in that meeting, all of a sudden, I got what people refer to as deer fever or buck fever, and it hit me. I'd never been hit hard like that. I mean, it was like, all of a sudden, that's all I could think about. I started thinking about where I was hunting. I started thinking about the grains of the size of ammo that I was going to be using. I went on my phone. I started getting all these deer calls and things, looking up which ones really work and when I'm supposed to use what. And I started doing, and all this was going on while the meeting was going. Now, I preached every night. It wasn't like I stayed home from church and looked at this. It wasn't like I was doing wrong, but it really hit me. And not long after that, I began to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, show me anything, because God, you have a purpose for my life, and your purpose is greater than my purpose. If whatever you want me to do, I want to do. So God, show me. And God said to me, he said this to me, he said, Tim, give me hunting. And I said, Lord, I love the mornings. Lord, remember how I take out my New Testament? while I'm sitting there waiting for the deer to come so I can shoot them. I take out my New Testament and I read, and I take set. Lord, this is good father-son time. This is good. This is healthy. This is good. It's helpful. And he said, Tim, give me hunting. Lord, you don't understand. Now, you think I'm embellishing, but sincerely, for at least a week, if not longer, I argued with the Lord about this. Okay, Lord, I'll give it to you. No, I can't. I like it so much. I just enjoy it so much. Oh, Lord, please, something else. Anything. You can have my house. You take my house, I keep hunting. How about that, Lord? Okay, so I was making deals. I was doing everything that I could. And God said to me, Tim, give me hunting. And so, finally, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, it's yours. I take my hands off. I will not do it again until you directly show me via a sign that I talked to him about. I will not do it until you show me that it's okay for me to do again. It's gone. I won't do it. Okay. Now, for some of you that enjoy hunting, you're going, oh, I understand. I did that. And I am not saying, not in the least, that every person, anybody else, is supposed to do this. I'm not. What I'm telling you is, God may ask you to give up a weight that you don't understand at this point how much it grips you. And God begins to remove your fingers one by one from around things that you hold on to too tightly. But let me tell you, and listen to me, why God does this. God wrenches your fingers away as you're allowing him to. He wrenches those away and begins to wipe things out of the way so that he has a place, you have a place rather, where you can grab onto him. And in grabbing onto him, he gives you greater purpose, greater joy, greater fulfillment, greater satisfaction, because you're running the race that God has set for you. Friend, I don't know what it is that may be a hindrance to you. It may be fears and it may be doubts. It may be something as simple as a phone. It may be something like Facebook, where you check it every day, all the time. You're always on it. And you excuse reasons why. You justify reasons why. But as a friend one time said, I was checking Facebook 35 times a day and I was checking in with God about 3. And something didn't make sense. Okay, now listen to me. I'm not here, and God certainly is not here to make your life miserable. What he's here to show you is that you're not going to be truly satisfied until you're running the race he set before you, looking at Christ, depending on Christ, and then God will open up for you the life of satisfaction and joy that he intends for you to live. Consider the race. Consider the company. Consider those that surround us. And then consider the restraints, the sin and the weights that easily beset us. Now, the message tonight is a little bit more of a, hey, take this home and think on it kind of message. Unless, and it could be that the Lord tonight, while I was speaking, put his finger on something specific that you know that needs to be set aside, or some decision that needs to be made. And if that's the case, great. But friend, before you pillow your head tonight, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've trusted Christ, may I encourage you to tonight, before you go to bed, just ask the Lord, Lord, as I consider the race, am I running with patience? Am I running in faith? Am I depending on you? Am I running regardless of the outward influences and the inward pressures? Lord, are there weights or sins that are stopping me, hindering me? Is there anything you want me to set aside? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. And again, I repeat, it will be worth it all. when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. All sorrows here He'll erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's be faithful till the Lord calls us home. Faithful to run His race in His power. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You please to preach this message over and over again to our hearts. And Lord, help us to remove things, anything that would stand in the way of our walking with and knowing You. And Lord, for those who are more introspective and perhaps would struggle with not knowing whether You're speaking to them or they're convincing themselves, I pray that You'd speak loudly into their ears so that they know Your voice and the difference between Your voice and their own ideas. And for those who have been hardened to Your voice, I pray that You would break their hearts of stone, break up the fallow ground, and Lord, that Your word would find residence in our hearts so that it can bring forth fruits in our life by Your power, by the power of Your dear Son. Thank You for being a good God. Thank You for giving us purpose in life. Thank You for providing us the power to live that purpose. Now, Lord, please help in the brief continuation of the invitation part of this service. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around out of curiosity, let me just ask a couple of questions. First of all, this. I wonder how many tonight would say by an upraised hand, Tim, I don't know that I've ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know that I'm saved from my sins. I don't know if I were to die tonight that I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to know it, or I have questions about it. And you'd say by an upraised hand, Tim, please don't embarrass me, but please do pray for me. I would like to know that I'm saved. I would like to know I'm on my way to heaven. And you'd say by an upraised hand, Tim, please pray for me. Is anyone like that tonight that I can pray for? Tim, I don't know for certain that I'm saved. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to. I don't know I've trusted Christ, but I'd like to know it, or I have questions about it. And you'd say, please pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? I'll wait just for a moment. Okay, second question. I wonder how many believers tonight would say, Brother Tim, as we've considered the race, I can see that I have not been running this race in faith or in patience. I've given out under the strain. And I see tonight that I need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need His enabling so that I can continue to run the race that He has for me. And you'd say tonight, Brother Tim, I already know what God would have me to do. I already know what the next step is. I know, at least in part, the race that He has for me right now, the part of the race that I'm on now. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But I need tonight to be a turning point where I put my faith in Christ for the ability to continue on under the strain of the outward pressures or the inward doubting and struggling that I have. And you'd say tonight, Brother Tim, would you please pray with me and for me regarding this change that needs to happen in my life? Would you slip up your hand if that's you tonight and let me pray for you? Okay, a number of hands. I'll certainly pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you, sir. Sure. Okay, you can put your hands down. One last question. How many tonight would say, Brother Tim, I am already aware of either weights and or sins that are besetting me, that are stopping me from running the race with patience the way that I ought to? I already know what they are. God's revealed them to me while You were speaking. He brought them to my heart and my mind again. And tonight, Brother Tim, I am making a decision that I choose Christ and His race over any stuff, thing, hobby, extra. Though it may not be wrong, I choose Christ over that. I know without a doubt God has spoken to my heart about setting it aside. I've not been willing to up to this point, but tonight I see that it needs to happen. And you'd say by an upraised hand, Brother Tim, it's going to happen if God will help me. And you'd say by an upraised hand, Tim, would you please pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Brother Tim, I already know what it is that needs to be set aside. All right. I see several hands again. Others as well. Yeah. Sure. Still more. Okay. Everybody look up this way, would you please? Let's just take a minute. Let's talk to the Lord about what He's dealt with us about. Let me pray. When I'm finished praying, then Brittany's going to play through a hymn of invitation. If God's dealt in your heart about some area in here that we looked at here from Hebrews, chapter 12, then let me encourage you to do business with God. And it may be good for some here tonight just to kneel before the Lord or bow your heart before the Lord and say to God something along the lines of, Lord, whatever you reveal to me, whatever you show me, anything you show me, Lord, you reveal it and make it known that it's from you. And Lord, I'll set it aside and come in all honesty and tell God, God, I choose you. I choose you over anything else because what you want is the most important thing to me. And then, friend, enjoy the satisfaction. Enjoy the satisfaction that God can give to you. Would you stand with me, please? As you stand, let me pray for these that have raised their hands, and then Brittany will play. Father, I love you, and I thank you for working in hearts tonight. Please, Father, continue that work. And as we leave here tonight, would you please continue to direct our minds and help us to be tender to your voice and to hear your Spirit's call and to know your voice. Lord Jesus, you said that your sheep hear your voice and they follow you. So that you've promised, you've said that as your sheep, we're going to know when you speak to us. So Lord, we want to run the race. We want to accomplish. We want to do what you want us to do. Please make known to us the things that we ought to do, those things which ought to be set aside. If there are some in here tonight, Lord, that you are putting your finger on regarding full-time ministry, Lord, help them to surrender to you tonight regarding that. And if some are struggling with something like Facebook or something like money or sports or whatever it may be, God, I pray that you would please reveal it and make it known that it's from you. And Father, as we yield it, then give us the ability, the power to follow you and enjoy the satisfaction that you bring in fulfilling the will that you've made us for. So Lord, hear our prayers as we come before you now. In Christ's name I ask. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano begins to play, God dealt in your heart. May I invite you to come? If God dealt in your heart, may I invite you to come and let's talk to the Lord about this thing. Let's deal with God and just tell God now, God, whatever you want, whatever you say, it's yours. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you again that you're a great God and that as we exercise faith in you, that you will always perform that which you promised. It's good to be able to serve you. Thank you for allowing us this time to meet together this week, to hear your word and to grow in it. Now, Lord, as we leave, help us to live in light of what you've revealed to us. And would you please, Lord, work your purposes through us. And may many of the people to whom I am privileged to preach this week walk out of here determined by your grace and dependent upon you to live the life and run the race that you have them to run. In Christ's name I ask this. Amen.